We're going to be dealing with leading Bible study discussion. Now, we have learned that one of the most important factors in terms of a person's growth is his intake of the Word of God into his life. And that intake has got to increase. And where it starts out from ground zero, and it's got to build up to where daily people are taking the Word of God into their life. And if they don't do it, they're not going to grow. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And when babies don't drink their milk, they're in trouble. And when Christians do not feed upon the milk of the Word of God, they also are in trouble, because it is the key to their growth. Now, it's not just enough to take an intake, something, you know, into the system. That baby start out and you don't feed him beefsteak, but you give him milk. And from milk you go to Pablum, and from Pablum, you know, to a little chunky food, and then from there you're mashing the potatoes in the side of your own plate and begin feeding, you know, off of your plate, and eventually you give them their own food and they're able to eat anything that you're able to eat. But there's a great deal of guidance that goes into that, and that also is true for the young Christian. And we have learned about intake in terms of the word hand, where there are five fingers there. That one way is through the hearing, the other is through reading, another is through study, another is through memorizing, and then, of course, meditating on the Word of God. And the thing that we're going to be centering on now for a while is in terms of that third finger, which is Bible study, where day after day they are looking into the Scriptures. And it's through a detailed study that they come to understand what the Bible is about. They are able to correlate truths, and they are able to build convictions that relate themselves to Scripture into their own personal lives. And one of the greatest assets to that young believer in terms of his Bible study is a Bible study discussion group. Now, why is that so important? Well, first, it helps develop a spiritual growth through personal involvement with the Word of God. That if it is going to be a discussion, it means that they must prepare themselves so that they, in fact, can enter in to that discussion. And through that discussion, hopefully, the truths that God is trying to communicate somehow will crystallize for people. That they start out and it may kind of be like jello. And people, you know, often vacillate. They even come to the point of straddling the fence. But a real conviction has got to be built. And oftentimes that will come as we discuss back and forth and we look at the various pros and cons of the Word of God. And as, you know, I see it from one sense, which may lead me in one direction, but somebody else who perhaps knows the Scriptures better than I do comes along and he sheds light from other places in Scripture. And, of course, all of those things just help to hopefully crystallize the thinking of people. And then for it to be helpful, it's got to be on a regular and a consistent basis. And if it is regular and consistent, then it comes along and helps to stimulate a regular study of the Word of God rather than just kind of a spasmodic. And then it helps cultivate a freedom to share and questions. And oftentimes people, you know, they look and they feel that God gives them certain things, but then because they don't share them over a period of time, they're lost. Or people come along and they have honest questions, but they're not really sure, and they end up only asking them to themselves. And of course, Satan always wants to come and answer those questions. And the thing that we've got to do is to allow God and God's people and His Word to speak to those questions. And then it will encourage in Christian fellowship with other people that as we get together and discuss the Word of God, we get to know people, and as we share and bear our hearts one with another, it just does something to kind of strengthen that fellowship. And then it will encourage laymen to participate in disciple-making ministries. Because as I am a part of a Bible discussion group, that eventually over a period of time as I study the scriptures, I get to know it, I have a certain confidence so that I could now go out and perhaps lead that same study. And the beautiful thing is that a Bible discussion leader doesn't have to have all the answers. That somebody may ask me a question and I just plain don't know the answer. But somebody else sits over there. And that used to be a problem with them. They have found an answer to it. And or if nobody knows the answer, the leader can always walk away and say, well, let me just think about that this week and I'll see if I can get some light on it. And then go and talk to his pastor or to some other person that he has confidence in. Now, what are the aims of a Bible study discussion group? And the first one is to study the scriptures. So oftentimes we buy books about the scriptures, we get together, we read and discuss those books without ever having gotten into the scriptures itself. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying books. There's nothing wrong with reading them. There's nothing wrong with discussing them. But don't let that be your Bible discussion. In this course, you know, I get you involved in reading Disciples Are Made, Not Born. This semester, The Pursuit of Holiness is another book that we're going to. But in that, you know, I don't want that to become our discussion. But it is the Word of God that we have got to continually be coming back to. And then it's not only the discussion, but the application into the daily life. That we're not to be just hearers of the Word, we are to be doers. I think of the passage also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, where it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who what? Built his house upon a rock. And the people who hear him and do nothing about him are like the fool who builds on the sand. And it will not stand. But then for that application to be of any value, it has got to be practical. It's got to be personal. And it's got to be possible to accomplish. And three questions that help you in that area. Which of these truths from God's Word do I need to act on next? As the Spirit of God, you know, speaks to me, I need to choose one thing and not try and work on three or four or five or 10 things all at one time. But if God speaks, find one of those things and then begin to work on it. Then we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing about this? Is there any place where I've failed in obeying it? And then again, that honest evaluation needs to come into focus here. And then, what is the next step I should take with God's help? And then to find a way where this week, today, I'm going to do this about that. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of discussion groups. And the first one is what I call the SYI, Share Your Ignorance. And so oftentimes, you know, the group gets together and somebody says, what chapter were we supposed to study? And somebody says, well, it's chapter 3. No, I thought it was 4. And then finally the leader kind of sorts it out that it wasn't 3 or 4, it was actually 2. And so we all open our Bibles and we begin to read. And everybody is just sharing from their ignorance. And they are no more capable of discussing that than the man in the moon. Then there's the mama bird, where she goes out and finds all the juicy worms, and she comes back, you know, to the nest, and those little, you know, birds there chirping away with their mouths open, and mama drops the worms, you know, down into their throat. And for all practical purposes, it's not a Bible discussion at all as much as it's a Bible lecture. And then there are others that are more concerned not with the discussion or the lecture or what's being taught as much as they are concerned about the warm fellowship and all the goodies that we're going to have after the study is over. And that's not Bible discussion. And the thing that we want to do is to concentrate on discussion. And as I have already suggested to you, it's not a lecture, nor is it a series of private conversations that the leader carries on, you know, with each individual in the group. But it's a discussion among group members. And that discussion really doesn't take place until people begin to interact. And sometimes in frustration, a leader, you know, will begin ending up firing questions, you know, at this individual or to that individual, where the thing that he really ought to do is to, you know, put out an open-ended question and then wait, you know, for somebody. And then someone else, you know, may take issue, and then it starts going every which way rather than just kind of, you know, back and forth like that between the person. Now, as you get involved in Bible discussion, you're going to learn that there are three kinds of questions, and we're just going to touch on these today, but we're going to come back and are going to spend a great deal of time on them. But the first is what we call a discovery question. Then you might start out with a very open-ended, you know, as we've looked at this particular section this week, what did you discover? And allow people to interact. And then you come back with an understanding question. Well, what does that mean? And then you come back with an application question. How do we apply this to our own lives? And then we're going to see that you kind of launch, then you guide, and then you summarize in each of these three steps. But again, we're going to be coming back to that. Then, along with Bible discussion, there has got to be written preparation. I like what somebody said, that thoughts disentangle themselves, passing over the lips and through the fingertips. And it says we begin you know, to try and get it out of here and to put it down on a piece of paper, that if it doesn't make sense, it's very obvious, and we simply, you know, don't walk by it until we do get it to make sense. But there's got to be that written repetition, preparation. And oftentimes, as we take the observations that we're making, we write them out and we file them away. We can always come back to those things, but oftentimes we don't write them down. Later on, we're trying to think, well, whenever I study that passage, you know, I had such a neat thought. Boy, for the life of me, I just can't cough it up. It's gone, and it is gone forever. And then, in that written preparation, the Chinese say that the palest ink is better than the most retentive memory. And there's a great deal of truth to that. And then there's got to be regular study of the Word of God. And it can't be the kind of hit-and-miss thing. It can't be jumping, you know, like a grasshopper from one place to another, to another, to another. But there has got to be a regular and a consistent study of the Word of God. Now, in studying, there are some things that will help us. And first of all, you know, I think of almost every book in the New Testament. I have worked my way through that thing chapter by chapter, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, and word by word. And oftentimes it is helpful as I begin to study to go back into my file and pull out and look at what I've already done, to kind of, you know, get my thought back in the pattern where I was. But, you know, I've got to get started, and one way is by looking and reviewing any notes or past training that I might have had in that area. And as it comes to leading Bible discussion, one of the things that we are going to do is to read a book called Lead Out, which will help you in being able to understand how Bible discussion works. And then we need to start small. So oftentimes we never get started because somehow we just couldn't get all the people together. And as all you need is just one person to get you started. And you can't have two until you got one. And if you start with one, it's easier to get people to join in with you rather than to try and get something started. And then there have got to be definite aims. You've got to set some kind of goal or standard, and the people who are going to be studying with you ought to have the opportunity of interacting with those goals and standards, where there has got to be that group ownership that we talked about once before in terms of goals and objectives. And there must be a standard, and it has got to be set, because no standard, you know, just leads to absolutely no standards at all. And those standards ought to be something that encourages and guides a group. And then, don't get involved with the half-hearted. If you are going to have Bible discussion, you have got to find people who have enough drive and diligence and discipline to do the study that is required. And if they don't do the study, you're going to carry on a one-way discussion, really, with yourself. And, you know, your study before long is simply going to break down. Then in that first meeting with people, what you need to do is to try and sit in a circle, if at all humanly possible, or something where people can see themselves. And then that first meeting, when people come together, particularly if there are people who are not acquainted with one another, you can go around and get people to kind of introduce themselves and the kind of things you'd be looking for, our names, their occupation, perhaps their church affiliation, the reason for coming to the group. And then eventually, as you get into the study, you want to start with prayer. You want to explain very, very carefully exactly what you are going to do and how you're going to do it, and to go through the material that you're going to use so that everybody is clear exactly what is expected of them. And of course, you remember that that's one of the things that every leader has got to do in terms of his communications. And then if there's a homework assignment, which there obviously has got to be if there's going to be a Bible discussion, that has got to be clear. And then eventually you're going to close with prayer. And then when you come back together again, well, you'll be ready to kick the thing off. But those are some thoughts in terms of that Bible discussion. And when we get together next week, we're going to look very specifically at how you go about writing Bible discussion questions. And then actually what we're going to be doing is looking very, very carefully at the Bible study that you have been doing. And we've spent more time on Walt's book, but each of you each week will have an opportunity of actually applying by learning to lead the Bible discussion on the study that we're going to be doing each week. We realize that one of the important factors in any person's growth is his intake of the Word of God. And somehow we have got to ensure that people are reading and studying the Bible, and that their intake is increasing and not decreasing, or that there just is no intake. We're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And what people need is that they need the milk of the word of God if they are going to grow from being spiritual infants to becoming young men, so to speak, and then to actually grow to where they are fathers in the faith. Now, this means that somebody has got to guide them in their growth. And we have talked about the way that people take the Word of God into their life, and specifically in terms of the hand, that there are five ways. They can hear it, they can read it, they can study it, they can memorize it, and they can meditate upon it. And we are going to primarily concentrate on that third finger, which has to do with Bible study. And we need to recognize how important that is, because it is through a detailed study that people come to truly understand and be able to correlate the truths of Scriptures and to relate them to their own personal life. And one of the keys in helping people do good Bible study is wrapped up in learning how to lead good Bible study discussion groups. Now, why should we have, you know, Bible discussion groups? And one of the reasons it helps us to develop spiritual growth through personal involvement in the Word of God, because if people are going to be involved in one of these discussion groups, it's obvious that they must get in the Word if they're going to have anything at all in which to be able to contribute to that discussion. And this means that they have got to do a certain amount of preparation on their own. And as they do that and come together to discuss it with other people, it will help them to be able to clarify their thinking and their understanding of the Word of God. Another reason, it helps stimulate regular Bible study. Sometimes people kind of hit it spasmodic. But if they are involved in a group, that meets on a regular basis, then it just simply stimulates them to study the Bible on a regular basis. And then it helps cultivate a freedom to share and to question things that they are grappling with in terms of the Word of God. But as people get into those groups and they have questions and they share the questions that they have, and other people come along and shed light upon those questions and can help give them understanding, it just helps to create a real freedom for them to be able to come along and to search diligently for answers to their questions. And then it will encourage intimate Christian fellowship. So oftentimes we spend so much time faking one another out, trying to make people think that I'm really kind of up here spiritually, and the truth of the fact is that I am hardly here on the ground floor. But the fact that they get involved with a group that they feel comfortable with, and other people become transparent and real about their problems, then they recognize that, hey, it's okay to be honest with other people. And it just helps to build, you know, a very close and an intimate kind of fellowship. And then it also encourages laymen to participate in Bible discussion groups, but it encourages people to be involved in ministering to other people. Because before long, as you get in one of these groups, you realize that having done a certain amount of study in preparation, that you could perhaps lead that group as well as whoever the leader of that particular group, and may decide, you know, to get involved, or because you're involved in this and the group gets so big and we have to divide it, before long, whether I like it or not, I end up and I become a leader and I am involved in a disciple-making ministry. So those are some of the reasons that a Bible discussion group is good. Now, in a Bible discussion group, what is our real aim? And it seems to me that we ought to have at least two aims. The first one is that we study the Word of God. Oftentimes I've seen groups gather together, and rather than studying the Word of God, they take and they get some book that somebody else has written about the Word of God, and they end up studying secondhand rather than firsthand from the Scriptures. In whatever group that you have, it's all right to use other outside resource material, but when it really comes to that discussion, the thing that you want to do is to make sure that we are studying the Word of God. And there are a lot of groups who meet in the name of Bible study and Bible study discussion groups, but they're not studying the Bible, and they ought to be studying the Bible. And I think you know the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, where Paul reminds Timothy, he says, from a child you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. But it says we get people into the Word of God, that they are built up and they are equipped not only in their own lives to be able to reach out and to resist Satan, but they are also equipped to be able to reach out and to help other people. The second aim of any Bible discussion study group that you have ought to be application. Not only are we getting people into the Word of God and studying it, but more important, that people are applying the Word of God in their own life. And we're reminded in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock." and it's the application of the truths of Scripture into our life that helps us build upon that solid rock, Jesus Christ, and that whenever the waves and the winds come against it, it'll stand. But if it's built in the sand, where we have it up here, but not down here, then it'll crumble. James says the same thing, a little different. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So somehow we have got to ensure that there is that application, and of course that application has got to be practical, and it needs to be personal in our own lives. Oftentimes we go and God may speak to us about several things, and then we try and apply all these things at one time, and we end up getting none of them into our life. But the thing that we need to do is to put our finger on at least one thing that God has spoken to us about, and then find a practical application that helps me get that into my life. Not tomorrow or the next day, but today. And a couple of questions that would help you is, first of all, what of these truths from God do I need to act upon in my own life? That as I study, what has God said? And what do I need to act upon? Second, what am I doing about this? Is there some place where I have failed in already trying to apply this in my own life? And then the third thing is, what is the next step that I should take in actually implementing this into my own personal life? And at that point, you know, maybe I just need to come with some little clear, concise, measurable objective. That once I know what the objective is, that what I really have done is find the activity, and then I take and write that into my life or my schedule and make it a reality. Now, there are several different types of Bible study. And one of the types of Bible study that you do not want to be involved in is what I call the SYI, share your ignorance. And so oftentimes you go to a study and people get there and somebody says, oh, what chapter are we supposed to study? And somebody says, it was chapter 6. And somebody says, no, we're supposed to do chapter 7. And, you know, they haven't read it, they haven't studied it, they don't have a clue what it's all about. And finally, in frustration, the leader says, really, it was chapter 8 that we were supposed to do for tonight. And it's obvious that none of you have done it, but let's get our Bibles and at least we'll read it together and then discuss it. And so they read the passage and everybody shares from their ignorance. And that isn't the kind of Bible study you want to be in. The other kind is what I call the mama bird. And you know how the mama bird, you know, early in the morning, she gets up, she flies out, and she circles around, and she finds those juicy little worms, goes down and gets them, and brings them back to the nest. And here are all these little babies, you know, sitting there chirping with their mouth, and mama bird comes along, you know, and sticks her bill down into that baby's throat and deposits this worm. And what that really ends up being is a Bible lecture, and that is not the kind that you want to hold. Not the Bible lecture doesn't have its place. Not that it's good or that it's not good. But if you're going to get involved, don't become a lecturer. Learn to be a discussion leader. And then there's another that gets together under the guise for Bible study, but in reality it's more a fellowship group than it is anything else, and most of the time is devoted to getting together and having a good time, and then parenthetically we take a few minutes to kind of pray or to read a passage together and talk about it for a few minutes, but the real emphasis is not the study of the Word of God. It's more just kind of a byproduct of the evening, and what we're more concerned is the fellowship and, of course, all the goodies that comes along after the fellowship is over with, because normally one lady is trying to outdo all the rest of the ladies by having a better and more elaborate dessert. And then, sorry about that, Tom, there is the actual thing where there is a serious Bible study discussion. And this is a thing that you really need to become a leader of. And for this, it means that everybody has gone away, they have done their study and their preparation, and now they are ready to come back and share what God has given to them. It doesn't mean that they've got all the answers. They may come with more questions than they have answers. But at least they know what the right questions are. And then, in that Bible discussion, it isn't the kind of thing where I carry on kind of first a one-way conversation here, and then a one-way conversation here, and then a one-way conversation back and forth, and then a conversation over here. That's not Bible discussion. That's just kind of, you know, question and answer time. The real Bible discussion takes place is whenever I can take and throw out kind of a launching question where one person picks it up over here and he doesn't answer necessarily back to me, but he begins to share and somebody else chimes in what they have found out, and then somebody else in that conversation is just going every which way. And when that takes place, then you have entered in to a real Bible discussion. And the guy who is up here is all he kind of does is to help direct the traffic and keep throwing the questions out that get people involved in sharing and hopefully discovering truth for themselves. Now, there are some essential principles, and one of them is that you have to discover and understand before you can apply the Word of God in your life. And in dealing with Bible discussion, we are going to learn that there are three different kinds of questions. The first one has to do with discovery. You know, what does it say? What are the facts? What did you discover? The second has to do with understanding questions. Well, what does all that mean? And the third is application questions. How do we apply that to our situation, to our own personal lives? And with each one of these questions, and we're going to get into this later, next week when we actually come to learn how to write the questions for this Bible discussion group, is that first of all, we launch, have what we call a launching question, and then we have kind of a guiding question, and then we have a summarizing question. And we do that both for the discovery, for the understanding, and for the application. But we simply use the questions to kind of focus the discussion so that we extract from people what they have discovered as they've done their work. Another important principle has to do with written reproduction. And somebody has very well said that thoughts disentangle themselves, passing through the lips and out through the fingertips. So it's as we talk these things out and as we begin to put it down on paper that we really see if it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense. And oftentimes when I'm wrestling with something, I'll take and I'll get on the phone or I'll stop, you know. I'll be sitting up here and I kind of get caught with a question and I'm not sure. And I think about it for a while and try and dig myself out. And if I can't do that, then maybe I'll go downstairs, and if Ralph's in his office, I'll go in and I'll spend some time talking with him. If he's not there, I'll see if John's there. Or I may sit and discuss it with Tom. But passing over the lips and through the fingertips, little by little, those things dissolve themselves or get disentangled. And then in written reproduction, so oftentimes as we read and study the Word of God, that God comes along and He blesses us with some great gem of wisdom. And we look at that and we think, man, this is absolutely terrific. And we're excited about it, and God uses it. It speaks to our own life. But we don't write it down. And a couple of weeks, or maybe even a couple of months later, we get involved in a discussion with somebody, and the thought, oh yeah, you know, that terrific thought. And for the life of us, we just can't call it back. And the Chinese have a proverb that says that the palest ink is better than the most retentive memory. And there's a great deal of truth to that. And we just need to get those things written down. And then the third essential principle has to do with regular study. It's not the kind of thing where you can just hit and miss, but you've got to get after it and then stay after it week after week, month after month, and on a regular, consistent basis. And not necessarily jumping around like a grasshopper from one thing to another. But eventually, that I began to take a book apart, a chapter at a time, a verse at a time, a phrase at a time, a word at a time, outline it, cross-reference it, and begin putting it back together, writing the application that I need to apply to my own life from those truths. Now, some helpful hints in getting started in terms of Bible discussion, that if you have ever taken any class or any course before on how to lead Bible studies, that's a good place to start. Go back, dig those notes out, and review them. The second thing you need to do is we are going to be looking at a book called Lead Out. And it deals very specifically with how to lead Bible study discussion. Not Bible study lecture, but discussion. And then in getting started, we simply need to find one or two people. Don't have to have a big group, 8, 10. You cannot have two people until you've got the first. And when you got the first, you're ready to go. Because it is easier to invite people to something that is already going than it is to try and invite people to something that doesn't exist. And then, as we do it, we need to define our aim. And that's a nice way of saying that we have got to have some kind of an objective. And I've already suggested to you that one objective we've got to have is that we are studying the Bible, not about the Bible.